B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Just imagine that, though, Tunis. If that Bulls thing happened here, we'd be out of our minds, no?
Of course.
I mean, listen, Joe Banner's a brilliant dude. I mean, like, if I had a company, I'd want Joe Banner to run my company. I don't want him to run my football team. He can say whatever he wants about, anything. He let his ego get in the way of Terrell Owens. So he can tweet from now until doomsday. He cost the Eagles the T.O. situation. Cost them the situation. Why? Because his ego ran amok. Just like Jerry Krause. No different. Why did he try to have a coup on Andy Reid? Because his ego ran amok. How come I'm not getting all the credit of all to go to all those championship games? Ego run amok. Right or wrong?
I'll show them. I'm not going to pay the best receiver in the league. And I'll show them that I can put together a better team.
I mean, seriously. Right or wrong, Judas?
Yeah, you're right.
These guys.
It's unbelievable.
These guys who, like, again, they get mad when they get when people don't give them the credit of being a sports guy. But again, here you have this situation, and you know the guy outperformed his contract. You know the guy's half a kook. He's a lunatic. Why are you trying to cajole him and get another year out of him? He just did everything he could to come back for the Super Bowl, right? Why aren't you trying to get another year out of the dude? 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. So you join us. All right, hit me with the poll.
All right, so the poll of the day on our Twitter account, at 975 Midday, has already got 600 votes on it. We just put it up. And it's a 24-hour poll, Ant. I know that makes you happy. On a 0 to 10 scale, where is your confidence level with Howie Roseman and the front office for this week's draft? The options, because there's only four options, I put the 0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7, 8, and then 9, 10. The majority of the vote is in that 4 to 6 range at 47.2% of the vote. At 36.4% of the vote is the 7 to 8 range. But then in third place is actually the 0 to 3 range at 11.5%, and that 9 to 10 supreme confidence is only at 4.9%.
Yeah, I think it's about right.
Yeah, we did it a couple of days or a couple of weeks ago. We did one of your fives, right? And you asked me, do I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl in the next decade? And my confidence in Howie. And I think I had Howie at like 6.5 or like 6. So I'd probably be in between that 4 to 6 range and that 7 to 8 range.
So you would go 7 to 8?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I go 6.5, then I'm going to round up. I'll go 7, 8. I think they're going to have a good draft. Huh. I don't know what it is. I just have a feeling they have a good draft.
Really?
Yeah, I think they just know what they need this year. Like, it's because, again, I said it yesterday, they have such desperate need at wide receiver. Desperate need at some other positions like linebacker and starting to think about the future of the offensive line and maybe a second corner you get at some point in this draft. It's desperate needs. Because right now you have one real starting corner. Right now, you have a center who has contemplated retirement the last 3 years.
Yeah, but I got a question for you. How in the world could you say you have, confidence or that you think they're going to have a good draft?
I don't know.
I don't know one way or the other.
I don't know if it's like a feeling. I like Dillard. Whatever's being said about Dillard surprises me. So I think last year, rounds 1 and 2, they did a good job with Dillard and Sanders. I could be wrong about Dillard because, you're talking to football people, and I'm just here. But like, I know I like Dillard and I like Sanders. They didn't have a third round pick. The Sharif Miller pick was a miss because the guy didn't even dress half the time. Clayton Thorson, I really don't understand. But at least you got the first two rounds, I think, good picks. And I think moving forward this year, again, you have such desperate needs and there is talent at wide receiver. You've said it. If they just get Ruggs, you're thinking that they are a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
And I think Howie knows that. Howie knows that he needs one of these top wide receivers. And I think he's going to wow us.
I don't understand for the millionth time, all right? I don't even understand the other side. If you don't have an outside receiver and Carson Wentz is your quarterback, A plus B equals not a contender. Right?
Right, because you're basically going back to what you had last year.
I mean, what's more to say? If you go trade up against C.D. Lamb and you have an outside receiver with speed and it goes with the rest of your offense to open up space and Carson Wentz is your quarterback, A plus B equals contender. C for contender.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, am I insane? I need to ask people. We have wide open lines right now. All right? Wide open lines. What's wrong with my equation? Please, tell me how is the math wrong here? You have a franchise quarterback that you're paying over $100 million. You know he's got a big arm. And he's got no outside receivers. He's got a tight end who's good, and he's got a kid running back who we think is good. And he still almost bailed them out last year.
Yeah.
So, explain to me, again, because he's got some slot stuff, but he doesn't have guys on the outside. I'm begging you, explain to me how the math doesn't work. Or tell me it does, because I think I'm insane right now. And then the other thing you got to tell me is how in the world do these dudes become GMs? I'm stunned. I mean, one of the most important jobs in all of sports. Like, please tell me Matt Klentak why he's the general manager and how he knows more about baseball than, I don't know, Charlie Manuel. At 71 years old, in the hospital, just get out of the hospital, forgot more baseball than Matt Klentak knows. Tell me how that's a good idea to have Matt Klentak as your general manager. Seriously. What's good about him? What are his credentials?
Dartmouth.
There's a lot of smart guys. I mean, I can go to Harvard every spring and pick out a whole class of smart people. Does that make them qualified of being GMs and spent any kind of time around the sport? Managed it? Coached it? Played it? I'm just asking. You know, spent a lifetime or part of a lifetime career in it, in a game? Tell me. I just need to. I feel like I'm insane sometimes. Like, I go, like, how is, I go back to that Jordan documentary. How in the world does Jerry Krause say, no, you can't, Phil Jackson, go 82-0? I'm gonna bring Tim Floyd from the Mayberry.
He brought him to a party and invited everyone except Phil Jackson.
Daughter's wedding. His daughter's wedding. He invites the whole team, the whole brass, except Phil Jackson. And by the way, what a fraud Jerry Reinsdorf is.
Seriously.
What a $3 bill that dude is. Oh, what a complete and utter fraud. Well, I would have thanked them for not inviting. Every time I don't get invited to a wedding, I say thank you. Come on, dude. We got two open lines now?
Yes.
You can join us. You can grab them. Because it's all you guys coming up. 610-632-0975. Actually, I'm sorry. Jeff McClain's coming up next. And then it's you guys. So bear with me. Let's talk about Core Police for a second, all right? Because I always tell you about Core Police Bakery and Deli. The great tomato pie from Core Police Bakery. Incredible. Since 1924, the Core Police family has dedicated their lives to serving the highest quality tomato pies. Now, Judas, you like them cold. I like it hot out of the oven. Crisp crust, the tomatoes bubbling. Come on, Judas, the bubbling tomatoes, you don't like that?
No, yeah, it's all right.
Olive oil, the basil, the dusting of the cheese.
All right, out of the fridge, man. I got some leftovers waiting for me today.
Yeah, what you got?
Got some taco meat.
Get the tomato pie from Core Police Bakery. That's right. The Core Police family. Tune us four locations for your convenience. Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, and Douglasville. Have your event catered by Core Police Bakery and Deli. Your guests will be talking about how great the food was. Perfect for any gathering. Desserts, ridiculous. You're going to love them all. All the great teams have a go-to guy when it comes to great tomato pie. My friends at Core Police Bakery and Deli. Yes! My go-to guy. See more at CorePoliceBakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11:22. 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Cause Radio with Tunis hanging out. Let's get to them right away. From the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Jeff McClain does an incredible job covering those Eagles. Jeffrey! How is life, Jeff? Uh-oh.
I'm here.
Oh, we got you.
I didn't hear the intro. I'm sorry.
That's all right, brother. That's all right, buddy. Yeah. How's life? How the kids? How's the family?
Everyone's getting along fine. And at this point, it's kind of been established of what we do every day, and we'll be doing it for the foreseeable future.
I can totally relate. Establishing what we do every day is a big deal. It's a huge deal during these times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a question for you. All right. And it has to do with math. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my math. Now, tell me if it's faulty. Okay. If you have Carson Wentz and you spend $100 million on Carson Wentz and he doesn't have any outside receivers, does A plus B not equal a Super Bowl?
Well, I don't think that's, written in stone. But certainly, based upon what happened last year, you could say the number one hole in the team was the lack of receiving talent.
Okay.
And
an outside receiver. Not a slot.
Yeah, although the slot was pretty bad too. Even though he eventually had to move outside, which it was all part of the problem. But yeah, I think at every position, at every receiver position,
right. But my biggest point is that they have no outside receiver, and you have Carson Wentz, who has not yet had an out. He's not had an outside receiver. Sans a half of DeSean Jackson. In his entire career with the Eagles, you could give me Torrey Smith all day long. He's a piker. They haven't had any decent wide receivers on the outside. None.
Well, I guess if I could play devil's advocate, you could say that, well, they won a Super Bowl without having anyone who was elite.
Yeah, and you know what? They won three games. And, yeah, they were able somehow in the blue snow able to beat New England in the Super Bowl and outshoot them. They were.
Well, I think, a nuanced argument or at least a nuanced look at how they won despite what they had at receiver, was that Alshon was still a pretty good version of Alshon. Al Nelson had his best year.
Let's be real. They had two games. They didn't do anything against the Falcons. And, you know, they beat Minnesota. And then New England, who had the worst secondary in all football, they were able to win. They're not playing without its best player.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the receivers, you know, they were good in the postseason. You know, Torrey even came up big. Alshon had some of his best catches. Mm-hmm. Nelly, certainly, especially in the Super Bowl, had a great game. You can go back and say that about a lot of people. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate.
I know.
That's three years ago.
I'm beyond the fact of playing these stupid games. There is one thing you need above all else. Yeah, you need another corner. You need a safety. You need a linebacker. You need another running back. You can always use offensive line help. But you are thirsting for an outside receiver. So why not trade up and get him?
Right. Well, I mean, that may happen. That may very well happen. And you look at the way this draft could potentially unfold. A trade up is, I think, certainly in the cards. And I would think maybe if you're going to get a receiver in the first round, it's more likely you're trading up than you're getting one at 21.
Okay, good. So you, because all this talk, Ruggs is going to be there at 21. I love these guys with these mocks.
Maybe.
When do these mocks ever come true? Do you remember?
No,
I don't know. Well, I've been covering this league for 20 years.
They're all over the map. Yeah, they're all over the map. So we don't know. We don't know. We don't know how certain teams have evaluated was roundly suggested to be the top four receivers. We don't know what teams may take a tackle earlier than people had thought. We don't know what teams may push a quarterback in the first round before the Eagles select. So there's a lot that could still happen. And when you're picking 21, you don't know. You really don't know.
You don't, which is why, here's what you do know. You know you have that desperate need, and so you know you have to go up and get it, and you can't allow any risk to come into play.
But Howie is working the phones. I mean, he'll have train scenarios mapped out before the draft even starts. They had it in 2012 with Fletcher Cox and the Seattle Seahawks. So he has some potential moves in place. I would look at number 10 and the Raiders potentially, or the Browns, if they get who they want in the first pick and then the second pick, and then maybe the 49ers at number 13.
Yep. Yep, I completely agree. How would you characterize your own confidence that they're going to get it right? I say they because it's an organization process.
The whole process. The process hasn't been as great as I thought it would be when Howie returned in 2016. And that last four drafts haven't been great. And they changed it again in 2017 when Joe Douglas was brought aboard. They changed how they grade players, how many players they have on the draft board, the whole evaluation process. And it hasn't really delivered many hits so far. Now, look, the jury's still out on several players and blah, blah, blah. But really, Carson's the only guy that you could say, okay, we hit here.
Yeah.
I think Miles Sanders is going in that direction. I think Dallas Goedert as well.
Ertz, they hit on Ertz. Yep.
Well, yeah, I'm saying since they came back in 2000, GM in 2016. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm writing a story now about pretty much about that topic. I have some anecdotes
can't wait
about
to read that tomorrow.
Where things kind of went wrong. And I think sometimes it's because there's just too many voices in the room and decisions aren't made the way that they probably should be made.
Yeah, and not everybody needs to have a selection.
No. I mean, look, I understand, but a lot of times what happens...
Even if you have all the money in the world, it doesn't make you a good evaluator.
I think when, look, a lot of times when they make these decisions, they don't do them unless everyone agrees on the decisions. But sometimes the guy in charge just has to make the decision. And I think what the Eagles have done a lot of times is they've gone with the groupthink thing, and that's fine and all. I do feel like there's been times when, as you mentioned, or at least alluded to, when, someone who's got a larger voice than the others gets to chime in and they go with that decision as well. So, geez, you're paying all these people and dumping millions and millions of dollars into this process. Stick to the process. Trust yourself.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes they don't.
And stay away from Pac-12 players, Jeff!
Yeah. I mean...
You want to talk about the worst, the softest guys on the planet. Look no further than the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, right. There's certainly players that come out of that conference that are good. I'll have some of this in my stories. Is the Andre Diller pick, there were questionable things, I think, that led to that. Certainly the JJ pick, right about as well.
Sidney Jones. That's the one I'm really referring to. Too.
Yeah. I've made the argument, and maybe I'll mention this in the story, is that I don't know what the value is of having scouts live where, obviously you want to get them to live and get to the campuses and to be out there. Well, you could just pay for the travel there. Sometimes I wonder if they know what's going on back here in Philadelphia or get the type of players that can play in the city. It's a big thing.
It is a big thing. It really is. That is a truism in any sport in the East Coast. You can't have guys that are salt. We saw with, take a different sport, Markelle Fultz. He folded here. I mean, he couldn't handle it in Philadelphia. And Sidney Jones is that guy. What are you hearing on Dillard?
I think Dillard's that guy a little bit. And he's alluded to it. He said as much the exit interview with reporters after the season ended about how, going from a small town and a small college town to Philadelphia was eye-opening for him. And the criticisms that perhaps he had faced here. And, again, this is a guy that football, came to him late. And it took a while before he found out that he could do it at a high level. So I wonder if that's going to be a factor moving forward, or if they got a great feel on his temperament. They did meet with him. I think he was one of the combine interviews that they did. I think there were 60 they got. I think he was one of them too. And he spoke to Jeff Stoutland and others, and they certainly met at the Senior Bowl and spoke to him there as well. But I don't know if they lived with him as much as they did with some of the other guys. I think they felt like they were going to get a defensive tackle last year. And when he started to fall, out of the top 10, they felt like they had a pounce, especially when the defensive tackles just started going in the defensive line, ends too. They just went so quickly. I don't know. We'll see.
And
it's still early on Dillard. I mean, I thought he showed some promise in the games that he played. Has had his struggles as well, but it wasn't like he stepped in and you're like, okay, this guy is the future left tackle. We're set here. We don't know yet.
Yeah, that to me is utterly frightening, right?
There's a gamble there, yeah.
I mean, like that's scary, man.
You would want a top 10 offensive tackles. That's where the Eagles said they had them projected to go. So you would want a top 10 tackle to start from day one, be able to start from day one. That happens almost every year. That's what happens at that position generally, is you can start. You have to start from day one, or you do start from day one. Now, they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to push that with Jason Peters being here last year. But, we'll see.
I know. All right. You said, what are the other positions? We mentioned safety, running back, and the obvious glaring need of linebacker. What do you think, Jeff? What's your other any names? Have you thought of any guys out there?
No. Again, we all fixated on the first round. I'm still looking at the first round. So, let's say that they can't get the receiver. The board doesn't play out the way they want, and they like one of these other guys at 21, then, you know, I mean, I wouldn't rule out, is it Chaisson, the defensive end from LSU?
Yeah.
And you can't really rule out any offensive line. I mean, any lineman for the Eagles in the first round, that's generally where they've gone. At least the numbers say that. Safety, cornerback, I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd be willing to take C.J. Henderson at that point or, you know, who's the top-rated safety? I'm drawing a blank. But, you know, those guys, I mean, some people have them going as early as the top 15. So if they fall, then, you know, then I think you have to move on it. Linebacker, I just, you know, I've seen there's been a lot of mocks.
The kid Delpit is going to be the first safety to go.
Right, yeah, right. From Alabama.
Yeah, not for LSU. But the kid.
Not for LSU, yeah. But,
yeah. But,
McKinney, but the Alabama kid. Is
yeah, that's the kid, Xavier McKinney. Who, McKinney. Who's got a, yeah. Who's got
but a I've seen mocks with Kenneth Murray, and I just don't think linebackers are positions of the Eagles. Look, you only need two really linebackers, and really. One is going to only one's going to play all three downs.
Yeah.
So that's why they don't look at that position the same they do as many
frankly,
others.
I mean, I agree with them, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do too. I mean, you can get a linebacker later in the draft, or you can even do what you did with Nate Gary. And I'm going to say Nate Gary's great, but my point is you can get a guy that's a tweener and convert him, project it that way and not have to expend so much capital on the position. I know Murray's like a middle linebacker thumper, but I mean, is he going to be playing down the road on passing downs?
Right.
You know, that's why if I was linebacker in the first round, I think Queen would make more sense for them than Murray. But, later rounds, I mean, yeah, I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know. Every year we're surprised. Every year, there's like, what? Huh?
Yeah,
Clayton Thorson? I mean, like,
no, it's terrible. I can't deal with another trip like that, Jeff. I can't do it. We've been home 2 months. I'm going to be back.
Well, there's going to be, yeah. So we'll see how many picks they're going to be. They got 8, but if they have to move up, then they're probably down to, you know, 7 or 6. I think now Howie's pretty good at moving around and kind of getting some of those picks back so he can kind of drop down later on one of the later picks and accumulate more selections. But, you know, I mean, they just need to get good players. Good players. They need to get guys because, again, they don't have a lot of young talent on this team that you project to be, you know, core players. And you got to start paying Carson Wentz, and you got other guys you have to start paying. So you have to really start hitting on these draft picks.
All right, last thing, Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com, incredible, read him, follow him on Twitter, he's the best. Running back, now there's talk about Fournette and the Eagles, I don't understand that a little bit, so I'm assuming that that's not real, I don't know if you have, but...
I guess if you give up nothing for him, I mean...
You're still going to pay him.
And yeah, I don't.
And he's still
I think
a guy
that's less than 1%.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't see that happening at all.
All right, good. So
unless you just get him here for nothing, yeah, I don't see that.
No,
I mean, yeah,
I don't.
They added LeGarrette Blount in May. You know, at the running back position, they can get somebody else. They can bring in here. There's a lot of running backs that haven't even signed. Is Devontae Freeman even signed?
You know who I like in the draft though. Cam Akers, Florida State. Watch that kid.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's good.
They were a mess offensively. They had issues at quarterback, protection. That kid can play.
Yeah, and I think he was fit with the Eagles offense and what they do.
Yes.
But he probably, I would see maybe earliest for him would be third round for the Eagles.
Oh, that's my point, is that he's going to be there in the fourth round. Probably.
Yeah.
I don't think he goes in the third, but I think he's going to be there in the fourth, like when the Eagles pick. I got him circled in that era, in that area.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. Look, if you can look at a running back and say, all right, this guy is also a ball catcher, he's just not a ground guy, and you can get him for not much in terms of draft capital, then yeah. I don't see any harm in adding at that position.
Yeah. Well, brother, listen, good luck. Now, how are you going to cover this thing?
My office and my bedroom. So yeah, my office. Go. I have an office right next to my bedroom and overlook my backyard, and that's where I'll be.
Nice. Well,
I gotta get a TV up here. I don't have a TV in this room, but I think I'm gonna bring a TV up here so I can watch it that way. Yeah, I haven't even thought about that yet.
All right, well, make sure you set up in your own war room. All right, brother.
Yeah, I got it. All right, you guys enjoyed as well. All right,
thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Take it easy, buddy. Here he is, Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. So, Judas, what do you make of that?
The Diller stuff is just fascinating.
Right?
I just don't get it.
Right?
No! I don't know. Maybe I need glasses or something.
And again, I keep going back. Listen, don't beat yourself up over the Diller thing. I don't know either, right? Like, I mean, I'm not telling you can't play either. I just heard it from someone I trust that, you know, there's a big question mark with him. But I don't know. And you heard what he said.
It's fascinating.
Well, you didn't break down the tape, so
right.
Don't beat yourself up.
Wait, you don't think I was in my war room,
dude? All I know is he better play, he better work out, or they got major issues. I'm nervous, Judas. All right, back to the phone lines. Coming up, 610-632-0975. I can't wait to talk to you guys on the other side. Let's talk about your lawn, all right? Would you like a greener, weed-free lawn? Also safer for your family and your pets. That's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. That's right. Natural Lawn of America uses safer, organic-based products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. That is, creates a safer lawn for you, your family, your pets to enjoy. And with Natural Lawn, you're not going to scarify beauty for safety. For over 30 years, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with greener grass and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. Now, this is dandelion season, and the weeds and the dandelions are sprouting up. Uh-oh, you can stay away from those damn dandelions, all right? They come from the Pac-12. This is not a one-size-fits-all service. Customized treatments for your lawn's specific need. Wet, dry, sunny, shady. Whether you live in PA or Jersey, Natural Lawns programs will deliver that lush green lawn you've always wanted. Right now, special deal for our listeners. Schedule Natural Lawns full-service program. Receive free seeding every year. That's free seeding every year. Call Natural Lawn today. Let them know Clutch hooked you up. Call 800-FREE-SEED. 800-FREE-SEED. Choose Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Your chance to win $500 coming up in 10 minutes. The playback coming up in 30 minutes. And the playback today is not a game. It's not practice. It's the draft. That's right, the draft. We're going to throw back to the draft that changed the course of this Eagles team, the draft that landed Carson Wentz. So that's our playback for today. Coming up at 12:20. Can't wait for that. Let's go to Tom in Perkasie. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tommy.
It's Tim. It's all good.
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, boys. Hey, I'm with you as always. You got to go and get Carson some weapons. I'm all in, just like you are on Ruggs. I think he's the guy, but I'm not willing to, jump way up to get him. That's just my opinion. I want to also say, you say the Pac-12, the Big 12's garbage, too. I know I'm going to probably get crushed for this, but, I wouldn't jump all the way up for Lamb. I'm not doing it.
Wow.
You know, yeah, Ruggs, I would, but Lamb, I'm not. You know, those guys run free in the Big 12. He doesn't play press coverage. I mean, it's just all cover two flag football. I'm not saying he's not going to be good.
They didn't do that at Baylor.
True.
They don't do that at Texas.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's come on, Texas every game's a good 55-50. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Texas is different. Texas. Listen, I'm not telling you that they don't all, that a lot of that conference is, but I can't. I'm sorry, brother. I mean, Lamb to me is I think he's special.
Like I said, I'm not saying that he's not going to be, you know, a very good player. I just, Ruggs would be the only guy I would jump up for. But again, like, you cannot trust Howie in the first round. You just cannot do it because he's got this thing where, you know, position's got this value slot, and he's, if there's a run on a position he likes, he's going to panic and pick a guy who's probably the 50th ranked prospect. And he does it all the time.
Timmy, forget Howie for a second. I'm curious. I'm going to get in your head because I think you know what you're talking about. We've talked before. Yeah, you're a sharp guy.
Yeah.
I think it's paramount. And all, I give you the math, right? If you have Wentz and you have no outside receivers, why wouldn't you trade up? And I don't forget you don't like Lamb, but say Ruggs. Why is there a limit when you know that you need that outside guy?
I guess my only reservation about it is the amount of other depth that you need on your team. I don't want to give up too much for it. You know what I mean? If you're going from 21 to 15 or something like that, 13, whatever, that's one thing.
Well,
but
9
if you
is a 13,
go,
right? So you'd have to at least get up to that. But let me just play devil's advocate with you. And like, I agree with you, but you need a linebacker, and you need safety, and you need offensive lineup, and you need a running back. I hear you. But all that stuff doesn't matter if you don't get the receiver, because
100%.
If you don't have to, okay, good.
I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on that one. Like, the one guy that I like, you know, because I want them to come away with at least two receivers out of this draft, if not three. The two, we'll say, mid to later guys I like. I love Claypool from Notre Dame. I think he could be something. I like, if they got Higgins too, I would be happy with Higgins. You know, if they couldn't get up to get,
see, my only problem with those guys is that they're not outside guys. I mean, you know, Claypool's a half a tight end. Higgins is, but Higgins is Alshon.
Yeah, but I mean, Claypool's a 4.4 guy. I mean, he's got speed. You know, I mean,
he's a slot dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and he was kind of all over the place.
I love watching him too, and he was most effective out of the slot. You saw that?
No, 100%. And I wanted to get one point in quick before I go.
Yeah.
When you talk about the GMs and Klentak and all this stuff, and Howie, like, they're such analytical guys. It hit me over the weekend. I'm watching the Elway to Marino documentary, you know, and the Jordan documentary, and like the story behind that. Like, you hear like the GMs, they value this guy. They saw something with this guy. In 20 years, we're never going to see documentaries like this because these guys are such nerdy, numbered slot guys that, like, there's going to be no intrigue behind draft stories going forward. I just wanted to get your thoughts on something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of these guys, I don't think Howie's altogether analytical, but I mean, I hear you. I think you're right. I think it's why we talk about GMs. I don't know. I mean, why is Jerry Krause a GM? Or why is Matt Klentak? Like, why is he a GM? I go back to, like, we're talking about football. Don't you want guys, like, to me, that coached it, that, you know, switch over to the front office personnel side of it, that can look and see a player? You coached it. You should be able to glean talent.
Yeah, as long as you agree to the system that the new coach wants, I guess. Like, that's how you would have to do the hiring process.
Yeah.
Right, like, you can't have, like, you know, Mike Zimmer is now your new GM who wants to run the ball constantly, and you have a spread offense head coach.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I look at this stuff like, you're a scout. All right, well, okay. How long do you have to be a scout until you're a real good general manager?
Right.
Like, you should be a scout. I would agree, right? You should cover a territory.
Yeah, you have to be a successful scout, too.
You know, again, I don't understand why, you know, Again, I can bring up Klentak. Well, why is Klentak a good GM?
Well, that's the other thing, because he came from losing organizations, right? Like, he came from the Angels and he came from Baltimore.
I mean,
like, losing organizations.
Yeah.
It's one thing if he's coming from the Yankees or the Cubs.
And the technology is the technology, right? I mean, the technology is, there's only so much technology you can employ before you go, I need to make a judgment. Certainly for the future, right? I got to make a judgment that somebody's going to grow into something. I see something. And his draft picks are terrible,
right?
Since he's been here. Horrible. Akash in Wisconsin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Akash?
Anthony!
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. Hey, Anthony, we met a couple months ago at the team hotel in Milwaukee when you were covering the Sixers-Bucks game.
Yes, I remember. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to get through this pandemic as we all are.
Yeah, how are things out there?
They're not as bad as the East Coast, but, you know, it's still, you know, everything's kind of empty. It's cold, so just trying to get by.
Yeah, good luck, brother. Good, be safe,
absolutely,
man.
Yeah, for sure. So I had a point on the draft. So, yeah. So similar to the previous caller, actually, I am not interested in CeeDee Lamb at all. I would definitely move up for both of the Alabama guys. But here's the thing with Lamb, to kind of dig deeper. The top 20, well, first of all, he plays in the Big 12, which is definitely a weaker conference. And he plays in a Lincoln Riley system that had him open all the time. But, Anthony, I dug deeper, and the top 20 cornerback prospects out of the top 20, only two are from the Big 12, and those are Jeff Gladney and A.J. Green. Both of those guys shut him down. Gladney gave him two catches for 16 yards, and I think against A.J. Green, he was like about four catches for 20 or 30-some yards. So
That's good data, Judy, right there.
Yeah, for Judy, for Ruggs, absolutely. I kind of like Ruggs more. I do it, but I'm out on Lamb. If he falls to 21, which I don't think he will, if he falls to 21, I'm open for it. But if I'm trading off,
let me try to open your mind just a little bit. Let me try to open your mind. Listen, I feel you, and you know how I feel about Ruggs and the whole thing. But because a kid gets shut down in college, right, two games or this, that, like, when you look at two things that are undeniable with the kid, is that he does have speed and he's got good hands.
Right.
His route running isn't great. He's a little sloppy. It's a little immature. So a good coach gets him to be better. And physically, does he become even more dangerous? I mean, he's young with speed and size.
Right.
Like to me, there's a bit of a projection with CeeDee Lamb that's there that I go, wow, I think he can turn into something special.
Oh, no, I got you. He looks great on tape. But I'll tell you the one thing why I have a hesitation in terms of why, you know, when a receiver gets shut down by the top corners. I kind of felt like that's what Amari Cooper was, which is why I'm glad we didn't go after him in free agency. You know, if you look, he got shut down by guys like Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah,
kind of didn't show up in the big moments. And that's just the only fear I have.
Yeah, that's a great. Although, let me ask you a question, because it's a great call. Akash, terrific stuff. Does Judy remind, because the caller brought this up, I thought he was dead right, that Judy reminds me of Cooper a little bit. What do you think of that?
I think he dropped off.
Akash, great talking to you. I met him at the team hotel, Judas.
Did you really?
Yeah, at Sixers team hotel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Milwaukee. It's a Philly guy.
That was right before everything just spiraled downhill.
I know.
Ben was, you know, still.
How about Ben? Healthy. We haven't even talked about
Ben.
Yes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.